All right, welcome to episode 2 of the podcast. I actually decided to name it Tourist Filmmaker because it combines my passion for travel and filmmaking. So I'm not 100% sure about the name yet because I kind of not sure if I like it or not. But today is a really special episode because we have our first guest on the show, Patrizio Demitri, Italian. It sounds Italian. We have been texting on Instagram for a while now, and he's actually from the same city that I'm from Munich. And if you don't know him, for all the product filmmakers out there, his work is insane. Like, he just lately finished a Coca-Cola commercial that was actually like, it blew my mind how it looked like actually from like a production company with like 20 people on set, but I think he only did it by himself with like the help of like a few other people. But yeah, if you haven't checked him out on Instagram, his name is Patrizio Demitri. You have to look up his work. It's literally insane. But let's get into the conversation with him. All right, today we have the first guest on our podcast, Patrizio Demitri. And if you haven't seen his work is absolutely insane. Like, I look at my work and say, like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, it's just insane. If you're into product news, you for sure should check him out. He's actually from the same town. I mean, I live a little bit outside of Munich, but he's from Munich. So we haven't really met in person yet, even though we kind of lived in the same city. But we have been talking a lot on Instagram and shared ideas. And because his video work is just phenomenal. But I'll let him introduce himself. Yeah, let's go. So, Patrizio, just introduce yourself.
But before I introduce myself, I have one important question.
Yes.
Does your podcast already have a name yet?
No. I thought about it because I also want to do, because I have the filmmaking thing, but I also do like travel stuff. So I was thinking of a name like that combines that. And then I had the idea like having like making like Tourist Filmmaker, but I don't think really that's a really good, what do you think about that? Tourist Filmmaker.
Yeah, there's everything included.
Because I, do you know like the, there's a, I already thought about that name. The Wandering Filmmaker, but you know the Wandering DP podcast, so it's already like the guy already has that. Do you listen to that podcast?
No, I don't listen to any podcast right now.
Oh, it's a really good one. It's more like for like actual like serious filmmaking, like DP stuff, like an actual like movies, but they have some good insights there. Shout out to the Wandering DP podcast. But yeah, I'll just put it down because I have to put some name in on Spotify. So I just put a Tourist Filmmaker, but I think the name can change in the future if I think of something better. But yeah, let's introduce yourself, Patrizio.
So my name is Patrizio. I'm from Munich. As mentioned, I'm 32 years old right now. And I'm in the filmmaking business since like 3.5 years, maybe 4.
All right.
I bought the course which changed my life in November 2018. Okay. So I would say 3.5 years.
What would you do before you did filmmaking? What was your?
I learned mechatronic technician first.
Okay.
I was doing that for like 3 or 4 years, but I felt really fast that it's not my passion. And I was always more focused on computers and IT. And then I had the opportunity in my company that I could switch to an IT engineer. Okay. So doing actually something where I'm more passionate about, but I learned fast that it's still a 9-to-5 job and I have to change something in my life. Yeah.
I understand. You said something about a course that kind of changed everything when you wanted to get into filmmaking.
Yeah. I think a lot of filmmakers know this course. It's from Parker Warbeck, the full-time filmmaker course.
Okay.
And I was in this situation in my life where I knew I had to change something because I was really unhappy with the current situation. I really got depressive and I wanted to do something where I'm really passionate, because the most of the time you spend your day at work, and why not doing something you love? It makes you more happy.
I understand. Right? I understand completely.
And I was already my teenage time really interested in filmmaking, but more like big movies and everything. And I never thought you can learn it by yourself. And YouTube wasn't that far like it is yet. So it was really hard to practice something on your own or learn something on your own.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I think it's the same for, even the same for me. Like I also was interested in like the bigger sets. And when I kind of was in school, like becoming like a product filmmaker, it was like, this is not like a job, you know, like the big marketing agencies shooting like the commercials for TV kind of, like when I was in school. But obviously that changed now. Cause now, I think now everything changed kind of with like social media and stuff like that. You don't need like a huge production team to shoot like a social media ad. I mean, people still do, but I feel like the TV ads, this is like TV ads are not as important anymore. So like, yeah, same as you. Like when I grew up, I wanted to be interested in filmmaking. And that's actually why I moved to Vancouver, to work in the film industry. But then, yeah, so.
When did you start with filmmaking?
I always, when I was a kid, I was recording videos with my brother and my friend. We were always recording videos. I remember when the first digital cameras came out, you can record like 10 second video, and we were going in, like my dad had one and I kind of borrowed it secretly, and we shot these jackass videos.
Okay.
Like we were doing like stunts and stuff like that. So I was always like filming stuff, but then I went to business school. So I thought like, cause like I didn't even know that there's like I could be a filmmaker at some point. So I just went to business school. And then I also got like a job in a startup, and I absolutely hated it. Cause like a 9-to-5 is, I don't know. And then I actually started something again. So I went to like a media school, and we had our own television show and stuff like that. So that's why I got really into filmmaking. And then I did a semester abroad in Los Angeles, actually, like study abroad. And that's where I really, because then a lot of people from the industry came in, from actual filmmaking industry, like the guy who did, I think, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know that movie? It's like a horror movie. And he's coming into the, like the lecture or telling us about like lighting and stuff like that. So, and that was really cool. And this got me hooked. So I wanted to move to Vancouver, because a lot of people don't know this, but Vancouver is a lot, they shoot a lot of movies here, like Netflix shows and stuff like that. So I came here. But then I thought, like, I don't know, if did you ever try to work on like bigger sets in Germany? Or
I never worked on a bigger set. I never saw a bigger set live.
Yeah.
My home studio.
Yeah, it's because you're like, when you're starting out, you're like just a small person, not a small person, but you know, like you're like have a small role, I would say. And then it's like crazy hours, and it's like, okay. I just actually, when the pandemic hit, I started shooting product videos.
Me too.
I couldn't do like the sets were all closed. So I just, what am I going to do? I just want to do film something. And the first thing I shot was just like, I had this gin and I just shot the gin. But yeah, you did the same thing, right? When the pandemic started.
Actually, I don't want to say it, but actually I'm a bit happy that the pandemic happened, but okay. Of course not.
Yeah.
Because so many people suffered of it, but I really found my niche in the video business. And it's product videos. And when the pandemic hit, all my other jobs got canceled. I was really into weddings and like events.
Okay.
And everything was canceled in this time. And then I had to figure out, okay, what am I shooting now? And then a full-time filmmaker again did this contest, like a product ad to shoot. And then I said, okay, let's give it a try. And then I searched around for tutorials, and then I found Awesome Paul's crazy YouTube channel. And yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too. I saw that too. Yeah. But he also took the course, I think, right?
Yeah, he's also a member of the course, right?
Is it in the course that, like, so you pay the, it's like, how much is it?
I paid like $500. I think now it's like $800 to $900.
Okay.
But there are always like big sales running. So okay. I would wait for, I don't know, Easter and Black Friday. So they make really huge discounts. So you can still get it for $500.
Were you like at the beginning, were you like hesitant to pay that amount of money for like a
course?
Yes.
Yes, I was.
But you say like, it's like maybe it might be the best investment for your career. Is it like in the course, because I never took a course like that. Is it like they teach you all kind of stuff? Like you said, you were into weddings before. Do you think are they teaching like weddings and they're teaching like,
yeah,
I don't know, commercial?
At the very beginning when I bought the course, I had no niche. I just shot whatever. So I had no clue about cameras. I had no clue about settings. I didn't know a thing, okay?
Yeah.
And then I wanted to learn more and to get more these cinematic shots because I had no clue about it. And then I looked around on YouTube and then I found Parker Wahlberg's light tutorial on YouTube. And this was so in-depth and so good explained that really hooked me. And then I saw, hey, this guy has a course. And then I watched his 1-hour webinar. And after that, I was sold and I bought it immediately. I had no money on my konto. I bought it from my girlfriend, I think, so I could buy it.
Jesus.
it was the best investment in my life. So
yeah, that's good that it worked out.
Yeah, for everyone who wants to start out, I recommend the course because it's really structured and you just have to follow the process and you learn everything easy and faster. So after half a year, I was already a full-time filmmaker.
That's cool.
I just have to get my power supply for my MacBook because I forgot to.
All right, he's just jumping out, but I actually never took a course like that. I actually, when I started, I just watched everything on YouTube, which there's also great information on YouTube to learn stuff, but I feel like a course is a little bit more, I'd say like you learn faster because everything is right there, and YouTube you have to like kind of search for the stuff you want to. But for sure, like you can do it for free, but I know that not everybody has like $500 laying around. But because there's also stuff on YouTube, there's also cheaper courses. Patrizio said before, I also watched a guy, Austin Paul. I think he was also part of the full-time filmmaker, and he started his own YouTube channel, and it kind of blew up. He put one video out, like I think it was a whiskey commercial, and then I think it also was quite random when the pandemic started, so it was also perfect timing, so people trying to get into that kind of videos. But I watched that guy a lot because I already had some knowledge about like camera settings. I already knew that, but like product filmmaking was something special, and I didn't know like they could do such cool stuff from home with like simple stuff if you know what you're doing, right? But do they teach? So like you were saying, you were shooting all over the place, weddings and everything. And do they teach product videography in that course?
There's right now a really mini section where they show like product videography with a phone, I think it was, and maybe they did another one. But there's still not a huge section on product videography itself.
Okay.
But there are other mini courses like real estate, which is a big market also in the USA, here in Germany, not really. Then there's Music Video Pro to do music videos. And weddings, so they have some sections where you can learn a lot.
And so what made you then switch to like product videos? What is that, because of the pandemic or?
Yes. It was the pandemic because everything was canceled, and I was thinking, okay, how can I do money now without meeting other people, because it was like forbidden in this time.
And
was it hard to like, because I think, like, I don't know, did you have any like work you could show to clients, like product video work before, or did you have, you started from zero? I mean, you had like your wedding stuff, right? But did you have any?
I had some videos, but I have to confess, 2 years ago, my videos looked like shit.
I'm not sure, but so how did you get your first like client to shoot product videos?
Well, at the beginning, I really contacted a lot of different companies and I offered my services actually for free.
Yeah.
Now I know it's the wrong way to go. You should never work for free. You should always appreciate your work, and also other people should appreciate your work. Then you are also more motivated and you're more willing to give your best.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you get $10, but just take a little bit. Never offer your service for free.
Yeah. So did you shoot a lot of like spec ads or something like that? Or
yes. Do you? Yeah. And then,
so like I said, there was the contest from Full Time Filmmaker where I participated. I won with my first product video the second place. And awesome. Got like the first, I don't know, $500 was it, I think.
Okay.
And
so you made the feedback from the course, kind of like you got the money back.
With the second place.
Exactly. I made more money with the course than I paid for it. So
that's awesome.
Because you recently won again, like the recent challenge, right?
Yes, exactly. I won four times now.
That's insane. I think
times first place, one time the second place, and one time the third place.
Damn! Like if you haven't seen the Coca-Cola video, it's just insane. Like it looks like an actual commercial, like from like a high like production studio with like a 20 man crew or something.
Not really. Cool. Three men.
Oh, that's good. So
so you started like you're shooting spec ads in like the pandemic, and then you're sending it to the clients and asking them if they want to buy it off you, or
how are you? Yes, also this never worked for me, unfortunately.
The first
spec ads, they just said, oh, thank you. The first video I sent, they said, hey, that's so cool, and they sent me like a present, a gift for that.
Okay.
And it was like, how do you say Flachmann in English?
Oh, like a flask, like where you drink alcohol.
Yeah, exactly. I don't drink alcohol, so yeah, really cool.
Okay.
But so yeah, like you did that in the beginning. Did you reach out to like bigger companies or like more startups? Do you find it easier for like smaller companies to reach out to, or?
Well, my outreach was in the beginning really bad, and I didn't know that. I was more focused on growing on Instagram, and I thought always when I get more followers, I get more jobs, I get more money. And I realized fast that's not true, because I really focused on putting out high quality content, and I spent hours and hours in shooting, and it worked, because now I built like over 30,000 followers in like 1.5 years. So
that's crazy.
That's not bad. But still, I didn't get that much requests or offers I was looking for. And then I knew, I really have to learn more about sales, because sales is one of the most important skills when you might want to make money, not the skills behind the camera. And I see that always.
Interesting, because I had the same approach. Like, I feel like if you grow, like if you have a social media, I always thought like social media helps with like getting work a lot. So this didn't work for you. Like, do companies see your work on Instagram or whatever you put it out there, and then they reach out and say, hey, can you shoot this and this? Or as I said, you reaching out more gives you better jobs.
You would say, or
Definitely. So now I'm in a coaching program from Nick Metzger.
Okay.
And he's really teaching the business aspect of filmmaking.
Okay.
And I just got a structured outreach process, and this is working so good.
Okay.
And now I understood that outreaching is the most important.
Okay.
And outreach doesn't mean that you do like 10 mails in 1 week. No. I outreach 20 clients per day.
Oh, wow, and that's a lot of work.
I get a lot of no's, and you get too used to it. That's completely normal. But there are also the three guys in this 20 who are interested, and with them you then a call and tell them your offer.
Are you going for like bigger companies then, or is it all kinds of companies? Because I feel like you're at the point now where your work is kind of like so high quality that you wouldn't work for like 500 euros or dollars anymore, right?
No. It's not worth my time.
Yeah, I understand. So I think when I first started out, I think I did the same thing as you did, because I just practiced at home shooting what I can get, like just like spec ads. And I also didn't really send it out to the companies. It was just more for like practice and creating content for social media. But yeah, I actually also, I never reach out to companies.
People find me, man.
You have also amazing content. You really get clients like that easily.
Thank you. But I don't know. A lot of companies found me, I think, through TikTok. I had like one or two videos blow up there.
I still didn't figure out TikTok. I post some videos. I have also 2K followers now.
Yeah.
They are not exploding like I hope for.
You have to post. I try to post every day, but you know, for filmmaking, it's kind of harder to post because your work takes a little bit more time to shoot. But there's also an opportunity to create like other content, but you have to really be focused on like the TikTok aspect.
I think you really have to mix the personal aspect even more into TikTok.
Yeah.
They want people to see also fails. So you should maybe show more of your fail situation. Yeah. And I think this is more going viral than actually the high quality work and the behind the scenes.
Yeah, but it's
taking off.
It's funny though, like I posted a video, I just shot this spec ad on a watch, and then a bigger company saw that, and then they wanted to meet, they actually also wanted me to do like a contest, like there's like five other people were involved, and then the best one wins like a contract with them. And I said, like, should I even do that? Like, is it worth my time for like, you get like paid for like 500 euros for like this 15-second commercial, which took me like a few days to shoot, which is like, I don't know, 10 bucks an hour, kind of. I was like, should I do that? But I'm glad I did, because I didn't even win, but they liked my work so much that I got more and more work with them. And like, yeah, I got recurring videos even though I didn't win. And now I had like a really big job with them. It's like, sometimes you just have to like take the risk, even if they don't pay you what you're worth sometimes. I wouldn't have done it for free, for sure not. But if you get a little bit at least when you're starting out to get your foot in the door, and then now, like the second video I did for them, I charged way more already. So this was just like a intro. Sometimes that can be good, but I also am not a fan of like companies, they want to like lowball you. Like they want to just, you know, like for that, they got like five videos for like 2,500 bucks, which is like crazy.
I mean, it's okay when you really have no portfolio, and then they say, okay, can you shoot that? Okay, you can do it. But like I said, never for free.
Yeah.
At least ask for like a review, that they give you like a nice review as a video, so you can use it for your sales. That's the minimum, but never do something for free.
Yeah.
That's my advice for today. The most important one.
But so you like, now you're reaching out to a lot of companies. Is it like, do you think every, like you work by yourself still, or do you have like, you trying to find like an assistant for you to do that or help you with that? Cause I feel like if you're doing that every day, it takes up a lot of time, even like finding all the companies. And then you also have to shoot stuff, right?
That's true. I was thinking the same like you, but I found this process, which is pretty easy. And you don't need like maybe maximum 1 hour for outreaching per day. Okay. And everyone has 1 hour.
Okay.
So what I'm doing, I tell you, my process is like that. I go just through the Instagram feed and I get sponsored posts, right? And my algorithm is like I always get shown a lot of products, also a lot of drinks. And then I just make an analyze. I go to the Facebook ad manager and just search for the company and look what kind of ads they are running currently. Okay. And a lot of companies don't have even video ads. And then I just send them a message where I say, hey, I saw your commercial. I really like it, but I figured out you're not running any video ads right now. Did you know that you can boost your return on invest by using video ads? If you want to know more about it, just contact me and I'm happy to hop in a call with you where I give you some ideas for your marketing.
That's really cool.
That's the way. So I'm just scrolling through Instagram. The sponsored posts are like my leads and I just text them.
Because they're already spending money on, ads.
Exactly. They already understood that marketing is important.
Yeah.
But
and they probably have a budget for it.
Yeah, that maybe. That's not true. There are also like these guys who make like a sponsored, they just press the button on Instagram, sponsored post, and they pay like $10. You get also them. And then when you talk to them, they say, hey, my budget is $150. Okay. Yeah, okay. You say, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Do you reach out via email or do you DM them directly on Instagram?
I DM them on Instagram. I don't recommend it to everybody. I do it because I have like a social proof with my Instagram. So my account with that followers and everything has like more. It's impressed more and it's impressive. So this is a huge benefit for me. So it's a little bit more easy. Yeah. But and what my coach is telling is you should just contact them everywhere. So send them an IG message, send them an email, look for the CEO on LinkedIn and text him there and just put you out everywhere because it's not happening that all three channels are not seen by one person, you know?
Especially if it's a big company, like it takes probably a while to respond.
And never use like info at whatever emails because
I try to do that when I was starting out, like messaging companies on Instagram, and then usually you get like the social media manager and then they give you a different email where you could reach out. I don't know if that happened to you before, because somebody's in charge of the Instagram and then they can't make the decisions for like shooting videos, so they give you like a other email to reach out to.
Yeah, because some have like an agency which is run the social media for them, and they don't have the decision maker.
Yeah,
and always want to speak with the decision maker. Always get in the call with the decision maker. You always have to ask, can you do the decision? When they say yes, okay, let's do the call. When no, then ask at least if you can join the call.
Yeah,
it's most important because otherwise you would waste your time because then you explain everything to the assistant has to explain it again to the CEO. And then you have to do another call and it just takes time you want to be efficient as possible.
That's very, very interesting that how you approach it. I think it's a good strategy. Maybe I should do that more. And it's a good thing that because you're shooting product videos, you're not the location doesn't really matter, right, where you are. So they could just send you the products and you can do it worldwide. Other than like if you're on a wedding, you just have to like go there. Like you're probably just doing weddings in kind of Europe area kind of or like Germany. You wouldn't unless it's like a really high paying wedding, they wouldn't fly you out to like the States or something. So the product videos are good for that because they just can send you the products and then you should
I started my living room. So
same here. I'm just
thing is you can work without a person, so you're more flexible. Yeah. You can choose your working hours.
Yeah.
You have time. That's the most what I love about it. You can really relax and focus on light. Yeah. When there's a guy who wants to be interviewed or whatever, you're always a little bit stressed and want to get everything really fast. But I really enjoy the process of setting up the lights. And
because I shot so many product videos when like the pandemic was there. Like I was also back in Germany, and now I moved back to Canada. And now all of a sudden I had to shoot with other people. And then I had this studio shoot where I had to hire a model and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm not really used to this anymore, because at my product videos, if something goes wrong, I can just like reshoot it. It's no problem. But if something goes wrong in the model video, because we had to like get a studio and like the model paid the model, right? If something goes wrong, yeah, you're losing out on a lot of, because you had to repay them or like rehire them. And then you're losing a lot of money, kind of, you know, and the product video doesn't really matter. You just like do it again because you're just by yourself at home. Because I shoot from home. Do you have a studio now, or?
We have like a 30 square meter room right now, and we rented it since July 2019 when the pandemic hit. But now we are moving to a bigger space.
Nice.
Same building, luckily for us.
Okay.
Is it? Do you find it? Do you get more work done when you're not at home? Like, if you actually go to work and go there, or do you?
Well, it's more, you can relax more. I wouldn't say you get more work done. That doesn't matter. It's more like you have like different places. One is really relaxing and you're private, and the other one is your workplace. So this separation of private life and work life is important. So you really can relax.
It's nice to have like a dedicated space where you could shoot. Because when I moved to Canada, I was staying in Airbnbs and I still had to shoot my videos. So I was setting everything up like in the kitchen, and you know, like sometimes you have to shoot like 1 or 2 days in a row, and then you don't want to like break everything down and set it up again. And that was like so annoying to shoot while you're not having a dedicated space. Now I luckily have like a room, like I have like a room where I could shoot in here. I don't have to like set everything up, and I can leave it in the room. And I don't have to do it in my kitchen anymore, or my living room.
How many square meters is your room?
It's very small. I don't even know, but it's really small. Because now I don't have a couch yet. I have this like big living room, and my couch is not here, so I shoot everything in here. But once the couch is here, I have to move to the other space, which will be, I don't know. I think for product videos it's fine, but you probably have like a bigger space. But you also have That's
true. We have like 30 square meters here, but we have next to the other room a 90 square meter room, which is completely empty.
Okay.
And because we are like a working space here, so there are many companies in this place.
Okay.
And everyone can use this big room.
Yeah.
So when I needed more space, I just could build everything next door, the other room. So that was really, really cool. But now we shot, because it switched a little bit the rules here. We have a new owner. And now it's not anymore for free. So I shoot a lot of in this 30 square meters, but I'm used to 90 now. So for me, it's super small. So I cannot imagine how you shoot in your super small room right now.
Yeah. I actually haven't done a lot of product videos lately. I was just taking a little break after that. I had like a crazy project. So I took a little, like 1 or 2 weeks break, and just focused on creating content for social media. I try to post a video every day now, like for like behind the scenes.
Also repurposing older content in a new way, kind of worked for me as well.
But it's working, because you get a lot of followers and you're almost at my...
Yeah.
You always, almost got me.
That's the goal. No, I'm just kidding.
No, because I'm not posting that much. I always want to post my best work.
Yeah,
I get also a lot of smaller jobs, but for me, they're never good enough to make it to my Insta page.
Yeah,
yeah. But you really are smart how you reuse your footage and make new posts out of it.
That's what I did. Like, just try to.
That's smart. I should do that. I should do that too.
Yeah, you should. I mean. Do you work with other people now, or are you just by yourself, or?
So, I share this office right now with a camera rental. This is a really huge benefit for me, because he has a lot of equipment, which I don't have to buy.
That's handy. I need that.
Yes. Like the Kronos camera, for example, the 1000 FPS, he bought it. So I can use it without paying a thing.
That's cool. In Vancouver, by the way.
But he's also renting my stuff. So we have like an agreement. He can use my stuff to rent it as well. And I can use his stuff when it's available, of course. So that's a cool agreement. We share together the space. We save some money.
And they help you out on some projects, because sometimes I feel like an assistant would be quite good to help you with some stuff. Like
I always work with assistants because it's super stressful alone.
Yeah,
I hate to shoot alone.
When I was shooting at home in Germany, I always had my mom helping me out. Like, she's like, because I shot this like hot sauce commercial, and she was holding the chili up, and I was going with like the like little flamethrower, and it's like she's like helping me out.
That.
Yeah, but it's for sure good to have like a shared space where people could help you.
I connected with so many filmmakers here in Munich, and really? A lot also of the course, because there are also some from the full-time filmmaker course.
Yeah.
We built like a relationship, and they love to learn from me, and they help me out for free, and that's super cool.
That's cool. How's the filmmaking community in Munich in general? Is it?
It's cool. I started now like a WhatsApp group. I made a post on Instagram where I asked all Munich filmmakers to give
and
me a sign.
I added them to
a group, and then I want to make a meeting here.
To the beer garden.
Maybe in the summer. Now, the first meeting will be here in the 90 square meter room.
We will
build some tables, and then we just connect. Because I think we should work all together. So because I think when we are a community and are more connected, and there are jobs coming and somebody cannot, he just can easily recommend somebody else. And you are actually working together, or when you need help or some edits, you're more flexible because you're connected.
Yeah, it's
and
also
that's my process or progress I want to do now here in Munich.
It's like I saw this, like, people think like they're your competition kind of, but it's not really. Like if you're like connecting with other people, and then I mean, you get there's so many companies out there that want footage now. So for example, you can't do the job.
Exactly.
Then you can ask like a friend that you know really well. That can do it because you don't have time or you don't want to do it, or they like starting out and it would be a good job to learn or something. I think it's a good way to connect with other people.
There are enough customers out there.
Yeah.
For everyone. So
that's cool. Like when I'm back in Germany, I should come to one of those meetups.
Yeah, sure.
So let me see what have we talked about? We talked about gear. Did we talk about gear? No. What would you recommend? Like, so when you started out, what gear did you have?
I bought immediately the 1D DX Mark II.
Okay.
Canon. I just saw Peter McKinnon having this camera, Parker Wahlbeck having this camera, and I wanted to be one of the big players, so I bought this camera, super expensive, and after 1 year it was old.
I think like for someone who starts out, it doesn't have to be like the best camera, right? Like you can't just shoot everything with like a cheaper even secondhand camera, right?
You can start with the phone. I see so many amazing videos which are shot with the phone. I still don't like it that the phone can do this amazing work.
Yeah.
But I have to accept it that this is possible. Yeah. But I never will start shooting with the phone. I don't do that.
I did it just for for fun to see. Like, I think it's a good strategy to have like a video for social media that gets a lot of views, just to see how it goes. But I would never shoot because I have a camera. I have a camera. Why would I do that on the phone? But
maybe if a phone is coming to you and say, "Hey, I sponsor you. Can you do a commercial with my phone?" That's something else. But no.
Yeah.
If you have a phone, you can just what kind of lights do you have in the beginning? Because in product video, videography, you need lights for sure to light the product.
So because I know this camera rental here, I had a lot of lights.
You rented them for them.
Yes. But my first light I bought was the 300D Mark II from Aputure.
Okay.
So like the LED light with the softbox and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But for product videos, I don't recommend even softboxes anymore.
Oh yeah. What do you recommend for lights for people who want to shoot product videos? Like what kind of light? You know, like if they had to get one light.
when they get one light, they should get a really good key light for sure.
Okay.
Depends on how much slow motion he's using, and because you always have like a bigger or wider aperture for your product views, because you want everything in focus or a lot of.
So you don't want to shoot at 2.8, you want to shoot at like f8 or something?
Some special details, but most of the time I'm f8 to f13.
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
So for that you need, of course, strong lights. And when you have low budget right now, I would recommend the 200 from Amaran. I forgot the name right now. Amaran 200D, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you have to invest a little bit more, like 700 to 800, there's this really strong light, 500 watt from Jinbei. It's like a brand nobody knows or not that many know. And they have like 500 watts for, which are affordable, because I think the 600 from Aperture is like 2000.
Yeah. And it's like 700 euros, or can you get it on Amazon or?
Yes, you should. Mm-hmm. Get it on Amazon as well. I'm not sure in the US and Canada what's there, but I saw also one from Rollei.
Okay.
It's okay, also 500 watts, the same. But yeah, it's doing a great job, and this is right now my key light for almost everything. Also right now, it's my key
looks
light
great.
Right
looks
now.
Great. It looks great.
And the 300G is my rim light right now. So nice.
Yeah, your setup looks way better than mine. I'm just here in my living room. Just having the IKEA light in the back here. And then I just have the Pavo tube here, right here to as a key light. But that's interesting. The gear, so you're shooting mainly, I know this, you're shooting mainly on the macro lenses, right? You're using macro lenses a lot?
Yeah, 80% on the, not for Sony, the 90 millimeter from Sony.
You know, I should get that lens. I was thinking about
Sony.
It.
Macro GOSS, yeah.
So it's like you're shooting in a like 90 millimeter, like a tighter range to get really the details, or
well, it's the sharpest. It's for me the sharpest lens. You get really nice close-ups and details, and you want to get this other perspective from the product. You want to show the details.
Yeah.
You want to show the beauty, and you don't get it with a 50 millimeter. Okay, you can try it with 4K and zoom it a little bit in, but the sharpness is not the same. And I recommend 100% for Canon the 100 millimeter macro lens, and for Sony the 90 millimeter.
Okay.
As the main lens. I don't use zoom lenses. I don't use prime lenses. Well, so, prime lenses in case of 35, 50 or something. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe I should get that lens, because
I only have the like the probe lens. You have that too, right?
Yes.
Which is like a really special lens. Are you using that lens a lot or?
10%. Maybe.
Because it gets you that like extra like standout shot that companies want to look for, and then I have the Tamron 28-75, which I shot everything on, but.
You should really invest in a macro lens.
Okay.
It's worse.
Okay.
I'll look into that. So what else did we, how long were you talking? You're talking for a while now. I think we covered a lot of the, okay. So do you have any tips for like working with clients? Do you usually get, because I made the mistake recently, because I had a bigger project. I didn't charge up front. So usually what I do is like, if I work with the company a while, I get paid when the video is done. And if it's a bigger company, it usually takes 30 days after you send the invoice. But for this and for product videos, I don't really have a lot of expenses. But for this job, I had to like pay the studio and I paid the crew. And I don't want to pay the crew. I don't want to pay them like 2 months after the shoot. So I that's just not.
So you paid it first from your.
So pocket. I had to pay it from my pocket. Also, the studio was like $1,000. Mm. You know, like that's like a lot. And do you have like a rule that you do like pay 50% up front and then the other 50% after?
Yes, always.
Always.
Always. I don't start until they pay the 50%.
Okay.
Okay. And then the other 50% is when
final delivery.
And
like you usually do like a sign like a contract and stuff like that, or
I have a contract and they have to sign it. And actually I'm doing it even more easier now. I will do everything online. So when I'm in the call with them, I want them to sign it in the call.
Okay.
Because a lot of times I closed the job, I thought I closed it, and 2 or 3 days later they just didn't respond anymore.
Wow.
And they didn't sign any contract and something like that. And that's why I put so much time and effort in it, and also preparing nice ideas and doing like different offers. And then of course when they say no, it's okay, I got it. But when they say yes, and after 3 days they just don't answer anymore and they are gone. And I think that's modern right now, because there are so many people who just start ghosting, which is just disrespectful, because just say no, it's okay. The other person accepts it, you know? Yeah. It's okay to say no. You can say no, but at least say no.
Yeah.
Did you have ever somebody not pay you? Like you did some work and no?
Yeah, when I did the job, I always got my money.
That also never happened to me, but I had some friends that actually like, they're waiting still for the money that like they did the job like 3 or 4 months ago. It's like crazy.
But I had some luck with the companies. Like,
Yeah, me too.
And then like in the contract, do you specify like, because for the editing sometimes can be so annoying, they're asking for like revisions. Do you like specify how many revisions it is?
2 revisions?
Yes, 2.
And then when they want more?
The first revision is for everything, and the second revision is only for the things they had asked in the first revision. So they cannot come in the second revision, I also saw this and this one, because then it's never happening. So they have 2 revisions in the right order, and that's in the contract. When they want a third one, they have to pay for it.
Okay.
But
that's interesting.
I never needed more than 1 revision until now. So
that's cool.
I mean, it's I'm also so bad at like the business kind of side, even though I went to business school, you know, like I'm so bad at like, it's, I also find it annoying like making the sales, and then I just enjoy shooting videos. But if you're like a self-employed person, I also have to do like, you know, the taxes, like the accounting, then like the sales. But I also don't like to hire someone, because do you ever think about hiring like an editor or something?
I will definitely do that when I'm no more making money. But right now, some stuff I have still to pay, and I'm getting married this year, so this is
also nice.
Expensive. So but after that, for sure, I will hire someone, because I don't want to do the low productive things. I just want to have them out of my head, so I really can focus on the things I'm good with.
That's
but
cool.
Right now, like I said, I'm in a coaching program where you learn all the things, how to grow also with your business and get this mindset, and also understand sales, because this is really the most important skill in when you want to do it as a full-time job.
All right. So what haven't we touched on? Have you like, okay, so coming back from the shooting, like how do you like, what do you like say, I want to shoot something for Coca-Cola, like when you reach out to the clients, do you like pitch them already something, or you just like how you come up with the ideas when you, so for example, you have the shoot confirmed, do you already talk about ideas in the call or something, or you just say, okay, we have the shoot confirmed, now I'm starting to like think about it.
Yes. So my progress is like, I have a qualification call. This is the very first call.
Yeah.
And then I just see, okay, what they want, what is their current situation, just to understand their company even better.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I will ask in the first call about their budget, if they have the budget. So when they say I have 500 euros, I say, okay, it's not working. And this is a huge time saver. So always get a qualification call with the client. And when they have the budget and they say, I don't know, 5,000, and you say, okay, I can work with that, then I tell them we will do a second call, and then I prepare them 3 different offers. So I will I have all the questions I asked them. So I have the information about the company and why they want this video and what they are looking for. So I just want to get like their goal, their pain point, so I can press on it in the second call, the closing call. And I offer them like three different offers, like one at the budget they told me, then one a little bit higher and one super expensive. So I want that they get the middle offer. Okay. I always want to direct them.
The budget they have is like the minimum.
Like, and then you just try to upsell.
Exactly. When they say they have 5,000, why should you offer them something for 4,000? Doesn't make sense. You can make the 5,000 full because they have that budget. No, try even to upsell them.
It's interesting, like asking for like the budget versus like, because a lot of companies say like, how much does that cost?
Yeah, then it's not possible to tell it because product videos could be super expensive or super cheap. Then it's depending, do they want actors? Do they want special locations? Do they want some extra props? So it's really every project is individual and you cannot have a fixed price for it. And I don't charge hourly or daily rate because what about your experience? You know, you learned a lot of light. You have so much experience and knowledge, which is not in an hourly or daily rate. So I really go to the value-based pricing. So I ask them, what is the budget? And I tell them what is possible with their budget to reach their goal. And that's more effective because you help actually the customer to reach their goal, if it is like more clients or more reach or whatever, instead just selling them a good looking video. Because okay, they have a good looking video, but if they don't know how to use it, it's not worth for them. So you really have to sell them the value what your video is offering, you know?
Yeah, I had this client and I told them like it's going to be like this and this much. And then they said, this only going to take you like a day or so. And it's like, yeah, but it took me like five years or so that it only takes me a day. If I would have started out, it would take me like a week to do that. So you're paying for that, for like that I can only do it in like, you're just paying for like the whole thing, the product. If you just pay someone who's just starts out, they might charge you a little less, but it also takes them like a week to do. So you just, it's a good point that you make, that like a product video you can shoot a product video for $500. I just can pull my phone out and just shoot something right now. And then you can like do something really high quality where you have to involve other things like that also cost money, right? So yeah, it's a good way to do that. So,
It's the best way to go because when you just say I have a good looking video for them, I saw so many people who want to sell. Also, I other filmmakers asked, hey, how can I sell my good looking videos? Or I also saw outreach mails where they just write, hey, I want to produce good looking videos for you, and so. Yeah. But that's not working. That's not working because your customer wants value first and not a good looking video.
It's also depends on like what the customer gets out of it. So I'm shooting this course, like a video course actually, like the kind of like Parker Wahlbeck kind of thing, but I do it for another person, right? So
I'm doing that. I did so many courses for other persons.
Yeah, so at the first one, I charged like way too little, but then I saw like what they're charging for the course. And then I'm producing everything. I mean, they put in the knowledge and everything, but you know, I'm making everything. So I said, okay, like they're probably gonna sell this and this much courses.
You should get percentages.
Yeah, I thought about that. But have you thought about making your own course, like a product video course, or?
Yes, I'm planning it since like 1 year now.
It's so time.
The problem is, you know, there are so many people who are really loving my work and everything, but I'm still really, criticism.
Yeah, I don't think you have to. You don't have to. I feel like your work is really nice. You for sure would sell your course a lot. I feel like
But I still think I don't know everything, and sometimes I'm still trying so many hours until I figure out the perfect lighting and the shot. You know, it's always like a journey to the final shot for me. And how can I teach a journey? You know, that's
yeah.
I can do the basics, but that's the thing I want to combine so they really get the most out of it. And when I get this idea, I will start immediately. But still, it's maybe they are also interested in the journey. I don't know. Maybe they want to see how to solve problems.
I mean,
you know it for sure for yourself. When you do product videos, you...
Oh, one sec.
Sometimes.
Yes. My camera just shut off.
Uh-oh.
One sec.
I checked my camera now.
That's so weird. I had it hooked up to the power.
Ah, okay.
And it's still shut off. I don't know.
But good thing I have the FX3 because there I see the red light. It went off.
Nice. So I noticed...
I checked, my camera is still running over 1 hour now, and
oh wow, okay, 66%.
We should wrap that up soon. Where were we? I think
what have you talked about?
I said you know it for sure as well when you do like a product shot and then you have like some problems and you want to fix them.
Yeah,
it's always like a new challenge.
Yeah,
that's the fun process of it.
Yeah,
That's where I wanted to go before, like with like the ideas for the product videos. How do you come up with them? That you pick the song first, or do you just look at the product and think, oh, what can I do with it? Because I have to struggle because I shot so many watch commercials now. I think what can I do differently? You know, like how is your process in finding the shots?
So how I do it is I'm always looking for the high-end commercials. So the really big companies who have millions of budgets for their product videos or for their commercials. And then I see already what kind of mood they create, why they create it, and what kind of shots. And then I try to adapt it on my shooting. So I try to produce similar with my equipment because I have a lot of equipment, but still not that much like they have.
Yeah.
And then I try to make the best out of it. And then I search for similar songs. So I know already the mood and then just edit it. So I get also a lot of inspiration because getting your own ideas is pretty challenging, especially when you have like a blockade and it's happening really often as a creative.
Yeah, I saw that shot in the Coke commercial where like the bottle cap like just bursts out.
Yes.
That was a really fun one. That was shot on the Kronos, right?
It was shot 1000 FPS, yes.
And you used like an air pressure to like
blast it off, or
do you say compressor also in English?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Yeah, I drilled a hole, or a colleague drilled a hole in the bottom of the bottle, and then
a glass bottle, or was it a glass bottle?
Yeah, it was a glass bottle. Oh. Yeah. Took 40 minutes for him.
Jesus.
And then how do you say ventil in English?
I actually don't know.
Yeah. Flask maybe? No.
Yeah. Like, okay.
So now we're struggling because we're both from Germany.
And then I just put like the pistol and just blow air through it. And then, of course, you had to remove the
bottle cap.
Cap first just adjust it a little bit so it's flying easier away.
Yeah.
Because when it was closed completely, no chance. Yeah. The Coke was spreading out, but not the battle was not flying away. So it was also a lot of tries. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that was a
really cool shot. I really liked it.
Thank you. I reshot actually the whole shot again because my first edit I was not happy with the light and outcome. Oh, so on the next day, the last day before the contest ended, I built everything again. And reshot everything because I was not happy. So
that's crazy.
Everything for the shot.
Do any
because there's a lot of equipment brands. Do any, because you have like 30,000 on Instagram now. Do they want to like collaborate with you, or how do you feel about that? Like the collaboration with other, like with filmmaking gear brands. Do you have any?
Right now, I have only a collaboration running with Manfrotto. Mm-hmm. I love their stuff. I'm using the C stands from them, the tripods, and sliders. There's also a cool slider tripod. I love it really much. So I love their products and I'm happy. So I'm always only doing collaborations with brands I'm
that you're using, actually. Yeah.
I'm myself a fan of them, you know?
Yeah.
But I got also offers from other, but I declined them when I'm not sure about their products. So I really want to give also value to my community, and I just recommend stuff I would use as well.
Yeah.
I got a lot of, like, I feel like they're like some bigger companies, they reach out and they just want me to do like a video in exchange for a product. And I said, I can't do that. Cause it takes me time to that's my actual job to make videos. Why would I make a video for like a $50, you know, like something $50 product, and it takes me like a day to do, and then I get $50 of worth and I might not even use the product. So, yeah, I never do that. But
yeah, it's
good. I reached out to a company because I love their product. That's something else. And they were ready to collaborate with me.
I have to get that thing.
That's cool gun. That's okay, because you are interested, you offer them, you pitch them an idea, and that's okay. But when they reach out to you and you don't know their product and you don't know if you can use it or something, you always should first charge it. And second, for me, always important is to tell them I am completely honest about the product. Yeah. So you don't just say everything is cool because you get paid. No.
Yeah, that's. I have to get that thing. This is really cool for product videos. But
I can send you the affiliate link.
Okay. All right, that works. So,
before we wrap this up, like, do you have any, like, I'll say, like, what's your goal with like the product video stuff, or like you want to, like, is product video the ultimate thing you want to do, or do you want to like maybe do something else?
Actually, I'm a good friend with Niklas Kristel. I don't know if you know this guy.
Yeah, the YouTuber.
Yes.
Is he from Munich?
He was from Munich. I shot a lot of his first videos in Munich with him. Okay. So I was actually the camera guy.
He blew up a lot, I think.
He blew up a lot. And he made this video where he showed how much he earned only with YouTube last year. And this inspired me so much that I'm actually, my dream goal is also to get a full-time YouTuber to just shoot stuff I love. Maybe it's sponsored stuff, that's cool. But not, I still hate sales. I have to do it, of course, and you need to do it for money, but I hate it still. And still you get products maybe you're not really interested in. And then you create videos which are not passionated. So I want to do really full-time YouTube with projects I love and I'm interested in and just make money out of that. That would be my dream.
That's awesome. Like I try to do that too. YouTube videos is like, I'm creating a lot of content on like Instagram, and it's short form content. It's really easy for me because it doesn't take a lot of time. YouTube videos explaining stuff is way harder. Like I tried to post one video every week on YouTube since like over a year, a little bit. And it's like I have 8,000 followers, right? I'm trying to get to 10,000, but you have to be a little consistent, and you also get better to, like, if you're talking to the camera, it's kind of, at first you start out, it's so awkward. Like, it's just
the camera.
But you improve this moment. Also, me, 1 year ago, I would never have done this podcast because I thought, no, I cannot be in front of camera. But you get used to it, and
it's just
a learning process. But one tip, full-time filmmaker has also a YouTube mini course, so you should look into that one.
I should do that,
I'm trying. That's actually like what I like to do myself, like, because I also, like, I don't know if you know that guy, Maddie, like the
friend of Peter McKinnon.
Matty Apoya, yeah.
Yeah, he also broke down how much he just makes in like ad share from YouTube. But I mean, he has like over a million, I think, followers, but he makes like over 100 grand easily from ad revenue, just from that. And then he has like other incomes as well.
That's crazy, because this is more than I earned last year.
Yeah.
It was not that good. this year it's looking much, much better. Yeah.
That's great. So you don't want to, you actually have to save stuff that, because I realized, do I want to work with like brands? And then, because if you were working with brands, they just sometimes tell you what to do. Like sometimes, like when you work with bigger brands, even like, especially if you're working with bigger brands, they have their marketing team and they say, oh, we like this, we like this. And you just execute. I don't really enjoy that because I just want to create my own stuff. Right. And that's like a good thing about YouTube that, you can make your own videos and then maybe you have a sponsor and you just tell a little bit about the service or whatever. And then you're still making your own content, but you get also paid for it, which is really nice. Yeah, so I don't like the like just executing on videos. I don't really enjoy that process.
Okay.
But yeah, I feel like... Are you starting? Did you start the YouTube videos or like are you putting?
Cause I have a few.
It takes a lot of time to like do that,
especially when you're like Mr. Perfect and you want to be perfect. Then it's super hard. But yeah, no, I know that for YouTube you just have to lower your quality because it's a full-time job, you know, and.
Yeah,
I just want to start out and maybe when I make some revenue out of YouTube, maybe I have then also more time for it. And then you can go also, it's more quality, but you just have to start whatever you want to do. You have to start and just optimize everything.
Is that your advice for like people starting out shooting product videos?
Just start shooting videos.
Yes, you should. Yeah. When you start out and you have no clue, you should shoot every day at least one thing. It doesn't matter what, just to learn, just to progress. Because at the end, you can watch as many YouTube tutorials as you want. When you don't try it and you try out what you learned, you will never master it. So stop watching tutorials and start shooting. That's what I said already in one YouTube video and people loved it. But that's my recommendation for everyone.
I agree. I think that's a good ending word for like the podcast. That was so much fun. Like the first guest on the podcast, I feel like I enjoyed this more having actual conversation than just talking by myself.
Yeah, I can imagine it. I don't know what to speak that long alone.
Yeah, it helped a little bit that like I had questions that I could answer. But this was fun. Like I enjoyed that. Maybe we can do it sometimes else. Like maybe if you have like a YouTube following of 1 million, we do it again. No, but this was fun. Thanks for doing this.
Was a pleasure.
And if you haven't checked Patrizio out on Instagram, you should do it. His work is insane. But yeah, thanks, man, for coming on the show.
You're welcome.